message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
God, through God first mentality. This is the kind of mentality that is missing in the life of so many today. Many are bankrupt of the fear of God. Many are bankrupt of the knowledge of God. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Everything that you seek, as long as you seek after God, they begin to come into your life. And number two, he talked about helping the poor, to assess the poor and the less privileged, helping them, being a blessing. You see, when you are blessed, you are not blessed for just yourself. A man that is blessed and blessed for himself is rich. But a man that is blessed and blessed for others is a prosperous man. Praise the Lord. Until you move from the level of richness to prosperity, you are not there yet. Until you move from the level of just high and mind only, until the level of wealthiness, you are not there yet. The Bible says in Psalm 41, verse 1, say, "Blessed is the he that considereth the poor. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." When you consider the poor, you are blessed. And number three, we talk about diligence. Diligence. This is another area that a lot of us are missing, especially the young ones. Everybody now live in the age of sharp, sharp, fast, fast, care, care. We don't want to be diligent again. Diligent is a process. Diligence will take some time. But many of us don't want to be diligent. The Bible made it clear to us that the hand of the diligent bear rule. The hand of the diligent bear rule. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and had nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." I decree concerning you, as you work in diligence, your soul will be made fat in the name of Jesus. And number four, Papa talked about guiding your thoughts. Guiding your thoughts. Guiding your thoughts. You see, what your thought is what your life will be. The way your thought pattern migrates, that is how your life will migrate. If your thought pattern migrates towards a particular thing, you will discover that you will naturally migrate towards that particular thing. I want you to know that our heart and our thoughts are very powerful. They are very powerful, and that is why you must guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it proceeded the issues of life. And I pray that as we work in all this, the Lord will bless you and I in the name of Jesus. So we continue in the keys to lasting fortune. Key number five is a life of obedience to God and to his word. A life of absolute obedience to God and to what? And to his word. The word of God is God. And when you obey God, you must obey his word. Many times we claim to obey God, but we are far away from obeying the word of God. The book of Job chapter 36 verse 11 says, If they obey and serve him, Job chapter 36 verse 11, if they obey and serve him, can you see that? If they obey and serve him, comma. If you look at this very well, if they obey and serve him, comma, it's a complete sentence on its own. Praise the Lord. Now that comma means that after this, this is what will happen. Praise the Lord. Now we've talked about serving God, that's God first mentality, last week. Now obeying God, there is no way you can serve God without obeying him. And there's no way you can obey God and you will not be serving God. If they will obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. They will spend their days in prosperity. I speak to someone this evening. If you will be willing and you will be obedient, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know the question in the heart of many of us is it easy to obey God? Yes. You obey Him by the leading of His Spirit. When you relinquish yourself to the Spirit of God and you allow the Spirit of God to guide you, you will definitely obey God. You know, many a times we do disobey God spontaneously. Spontaneously. For example, somebody said this and this, and you spontaneously, you just lie. I finish telling the lie before you realize you yourself that, it is lie that I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. But you know, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, even when you want to lie, you see yourself saying the truth. How many of you have been there? Because of the week, I met with someone who told us something, and I was quarreling with him. And after a while, he said, look, this is what you should tell Papa. Say this and this and that. When he finished, I said, okay, I've heard you. And the thing was not true. So when I picked the phone to call, I just started saying the truth. When I dropped the phone, the man looked at me. I said, but that is not what I said you should say. I said, I cannot say what you said I should say. I can't. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. You see, even when you want to say, do things that are contrary, if you allow the Spirit of God to fill your heart, you will see that you will not be able. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is why if you are not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to plead and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you into all truth. Praise the Lord. So obedience to God is the master key to prosperity. A life of obedience is a life that we enjoy plenty and surplus. I wish that I may have more time to explain this. You see, many a times, the reason why a lot of believers suffer because they are working in disobedience. One of such is obedience to the law of sowing and reaping. That as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time will never cease. The law. Say, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. Shall men, when you understand this principle and you follow, you enjoy blessing. Say, cast your bread upon many waters, and in days you will see it. You will get it back. He said, there is one that withholdeth more than is necessary, and yet tended to penury. And yet there is one that scattereth, and yet increaseth. All these principles are rooted in obedience. The principles will not be forced on you. It is you that will decide to obey. It is in your obedience that you gain the blessing that is embedded in that principle. Praise the Lord. Thank God we have medical practitioners here. I know very well that in medical school, they work by procedures. Yes or no, sir? Yes. They work by procedures. So if the procedure says, what somebody is doing surgery, say, clamp this vessel, cut this one, clamp this before you cut this. And the surgeon says, no, I will not obey the instruction. In fact, I will cut it before I clamp. That person may die. Hello? Pilots fly by instructions. And pilots are one of the most obedient people. You know why? When somebody is sitting dead, that person does not know how to fly jack. Not even fly a bicycle. They call them traffic controller. They sit in the control tower. They say, pilot, don't take off. You are not clear to take off. The pilot will say, yes, ma, I obey. Man may be a small man, may be short, tall, doesn't matter. The pilot will not fly until the air traffic controller say, you are clear to fly, to take off, then he will take off. You are permitted or clear to land, then he will land. Why didn't he say, I'm the captain? Who is this person that is telling me not to land? I'm going to land. It will crash. The word of God is like our traffic controller. He said, don't do this, don't do it. That is how you enjoy blessing. The principle of tithing. It's a principle that cannot be changed. Forget what people are saying all over. Check the life of those that are saying that, you will not see anything to envy in their life. There's nothing to envy in their life. I tell you, if you understand this principle and you are willing to obey, you will live a good life. And the Bible says, don't fornicate. Just follow. You'll be free from so many things. You'll be free from guilt. You'll be free from so many other things, diseases, STDs, and so many. You'll be free from so many. And I prayed that God will give each and every one of us the grace to obey in the name of Jesus. The book of Kings, chapter 17, there's a man called Elijah the Tishbite. The word of the Lord came unto him in verse 2, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Chariot that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. So he went and did according. He has a household. Don't believe that Elijah the Tishbite did not have a house. Most likely he has a mansion. But God said, leave them. Go and stay on one brook. And he went. And that was how he was sustained through the period of the famine, to a particular period. See, obedience will always take you away from scarcity and put you in the place of surplus. Can you imagine ravens? Ravens are animals that love food a lot. Yet God says ravens will feed a man when there is no food. It's against logic. This is an animal that is ravenous. When they say somebody is ravenous, it's from the word raven. It's after that animal called raven because they devour like that. They hit so much and so nasty. Yet God says, I've commanded the ravens to feed you. You and I will first pick our phone and Google it. I say, ah, raven, Oluwa, raven care. Google says ravens are ferocious animals. They won't bring any food. Certain, they won't bring. But this man obeyed. And in his obedience, he enjoyed freedom from scarcity. May we understand the principle of obedience in the name of Jesus. Number six. You know, sometimes when God says you should do something, just obey. We've been hearing testimonies of people following the instruction of our Father and the Lord and how they are being blessed. And yet many of us are still there. We are still doubting. You will not be a doubting Thomas in Jesus' name. Number six, total trust in God. When a person trusts in God, you assess financial fortune. You see, it's easy to trust in God more than easy to trust in man. Yet, many of us trust in man more than trust in God. That's the truth. It's actually easier to trust in God. Just to put your trust in man, it's like putting your trust, it's like spreading toilet roll or toilet, kind of paper on a pit, tissue paper. Put it on a pit, deep pit, layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. And say, after plenty layers, the thing will be so thick. Even if I stand on it, it won't fall. Yes. All right. But all that I needed to do to make you fall into that pit, just carry 1 liter of water, even one bucket. Just pick 1 liter of water. I will not pour it all over the thing. I will just pick a spot. The spot that is attached to the ground, I will just look at that spot and start pouring that 1 liter. Just a matter of time, you are going into that pit. That's how the trust of man is. So it is. It's just 1 week thing that you need to do. The man will change his mind. Or somebody says just one thing about you, and that is the end. The deal is over. The promise is thrown into the wind. Praise the Lord. But we have a God that when we put our trust in Him, it's unshakable. You can't shake Him. Praise the Lord. You see, trusting God is easier. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Continue, please. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Do not lean unto thy own understanding. You might be the best in that particular field. But if God says, don't drive, you might be the best driver. If God says, don't go, that man might be the most promising man. If God says, don't marry him, brother or sister, put a boss. Hallelujah. Because by virtue of your marriage to someone, you can end up living in scarcity all the days of your life. Praise the Lord. You see, our trust in God is beyond just ordinary praying or believing. No, it's like committing our whole life into His hand. Praise the Lord. See, the more you trust in God, the more you assess of His blessing. Trust in God will always make a man a blessed man. The more you trust in God, the more God will show up for you in your life and in your finances. And when you trust in God, you cannot rust in life. You can't rust away in life, because your trust is in the living God. Praise the Lord. You see, looking up to man can limit a person's destiny. When you put your faith in man, it can limit your destiny. I remember a story that Papa once shared with us while he was about getting married. Had an uncle who was very blessed, well-respected man, and man has been doing it. Perhaps the man would have done it. But before then, death came knocking, and the man is gone. Will you quarrel with him? No. To tell you that you can't place your trust in God, in man. But the life of man itself is like a vapor that you see now, the next moment is gone. It's like candle in the wind. It's just like a candle that you just light and it's burning. One moment it will stop burning. You know, say you want to put your whole life in that. I'm putting my life in my mommy, my daddy. Oh, I pity you. Your daddy is just a mortal man and your mommy is just a mortal woman. Why not put your trust in God? Why not look up to God? You see, when you look up to man, you provoke the jealous of God, because God does not like to share his glory with man. Doesn't. God bless those that rely on him solely. Those who give the glory of everything to God, God blesses them tremendously. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 from verse 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heat in the desert. Can you see that? Heat in the desert is like the storm that blows in the desert. It carries no life in it. Absolute no life in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when it goes up, it doesn't come back to where it is. It's always scattered here and there. And shall not see when good cometh. When you are in that thing, you cannot see anything good coming, because the thing will cloud your vision. But shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in a salted land and not inhabited. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. I said that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But the Bible says in verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out our root by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. Heat period is famine period. But our leaf shall be green, that is, you will enjoy plenty, and shall not be careful. I love this one. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You see what it means when you are not careful in the year of drought? It's when everybody is saying there's scarcity, you are blowing the thing. As in, you are enjoying, you are spending. Praise the Lord. You are living in abundance. The drought period. There was a period they said the economy of Nigeria is in recession. In that period, some people were building. Recession. People were building. Because such people were not operating under the economy of Nigeria. Recession. People were buying jets. One of our fathers in the Lord launched one around that period. And all of them were shouting. At the end, there's recession, there's problem. And the man, I said, foolish people, don't know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, this teaching may sound somehow, but I tell you, they're very deep. If only you can understand it, you will escape famine completely for all the days of your life. Go and read that Jeremiah chapter 17 all over again when you get home. Do we have deeper revelation and deeper understanding in the name of Jesus? Number 7 is knowledge. Knowledge. Papa says something. Papa said, your knowledge base affects your asset base. Your knowledge base will affect your asset. A-S-S-E-T. Asset base. That is how vast you are in knowledge. How good you are. We affect the base, your resources, your storehouse. Have you not noticed that it is not by the muscle you carry that determines your wages? Not by muscle, not by power, not by mind. It's not by that. You can be the one with the 6 halves and 7 halves and whatever. And one chinkly person is earning more, is being blessed more, because he or she is working under covenant. It's understanding some of the teachings that we are giving tonight. and that has been given earlier. Praise the Lord. Your knowledge base determines your asset base. The word knowledge comes from two words, note and edge. A-N-O-W and edge. E-D-G-E, hedge. Now, what does it mean? To know means to have understanding. Know means to what? To have understanding. To hedge means to be above. Be at the hedge. To be above. To have, to be ahead. To be ahead. You are not on the same level. You are on a hedge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But when you combine the two, it means having knowledge that places you above. Having understanding that takes you above. You see, what you know is what gives you an edge over others. What makes you a medical doctor is because you know some things that others don't know. You know some things that people like me don't know. Though we both did chemistry, biology, physics. There are some things that you know that I don't know. I don't know which artery or which vein is most important. So if you bring the heart of a man like this, I say, this is heart. I say, yes, I did it in biology. I know it's heart. So, but I will go and cut the one that I feel I should cut. Because I don't have the knowledge about it. Praise the Lord. When you take your car to the mechanic, you are an engineer. But you are not a mechanical engineer. And the guy is telling you that the compression and this one and that one is not working properly. You will say, yes, sir. Even though he didn't go to school, it's because he has more knowledge than you. So he has the hedge in that area. And that's why he will charge you. You will pay. Hello? Because you don't have that knowledge. Praise the Lord. Knowledge gives you an edge. And that is why you should seek for knowledge. The difference between you and a friend who is using his money on some funny ladies going around with women and hot friends. Knowledge. It's because you have knowledge that, look, if I do this, I'm just wasting my life. There's a particular way myself and my wife used to describe such women, or such ladies. I won't tell you. The Lord. When maybe we are driving, I would say, Pastor, Adam. I say, yes, 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 yes. I don't want to lose. You see, when you chase after strange women, it's because you lack knowledge. A young man that chases after strange women lacks knowledge. Because they carry fire in their bosom. Can a man carry fire on his bosom and not be burnt? Not possible. You will burn your destiny, join. Not only yourself, you burn your destiny. It's lack of knowledge that makes a man use his money to go and buy cigarettes and he will light it and it's like he's burning his money away. It's lack of knowledge. You can have PhD and still lack wisdom. Yes. It's not about going to university or going to polytechnic or doing this or doing that. No. That's not the thing. It's having knowledge from the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Because God is the author your life. So he knows how you should live your life. So if God says this is the way to do it, just follow. You will enjoy the best of life. Praise the Lord. David was a young boy. He had knowledge of music. And because he was cunning in playing music, and because he was cunning and skillful in playing music, they called for him. They sent for him. He became chief musician to the king. You think it's my mind to be the chief musician to the president? Nigeria. If I'm chief musician to, let's say Vicky's, I don't know music. I don't even know how to sing, you know, to talk of. Let's say Vicky's now is the chief keyboardist. Buhari, of course. If I need visa, I won't need to bother. I just say Vicky's job and so from Baba. I want to, he say, okay, sir. Baba, my pastor says he wants to, he will just play the thing in music. When the man is enjoying and is floating and his head is swelling, he will just say, sir, I have a request. The man will sign. On a lighter note, the knowledge of what you have will place you at a high place in life. That's why I want to advise our young ones, seek for knowledge. Seek for knowledge. Seek for knowledge. No one will commit anything serious into the hands of someone who has no knowledge. Nobody. I now want to do something, I will not go and make a quack doctor. Or I want to service my car, I will go to a quack mechanic. No way. No way. Go to a school, you get to the school, you want to enroll your child. You said, where is the teacher? Where is the headmaster? They said, good morning, sir. The man said, good morning. He said, I'm Mr. So and so from this and this. And can I meet you? And the man started jumping A with B, shooting English left, right, center. You don't need anybody to tell you that your child is not meant for that place. You take off. Because you can't commit something precious into the hands of such a person. Praise the Lord. Nothing valuable comes to someone who lacks knowledge. That's just what we are talking about. So prosperity cannot come into your hand when nobody will commit something of value into the hands of a fool. I would not want to set up a company and go and look for somebody who is a fool to come and be the MD. No. Absolutely no. Do you know that in this country, there are people that earn as much as, I just had that one, they pay them in dollars. Nigerians, so they are not expatriates. In their own country, they are collecting the money of another country as their salary. They are not Oyibo, black man, but maybe from your village. They pay him in dollars. Why? Because of the knowledge. Because of what he has. See somebody get to that level in the name of Jesus. See, when people encounter you, they feel you as a knowledgeable person. Because after people have encountered you for a while and have noticed that you don't know what you are doing, they will leave you. They will leave you. They will not want to associate or want to invest or want to be a blessing or want to connect or want to do something with you. No! Your knowledge base determines your asset base. You be a man and a woman of assets in the name of Jesus. Be fast about knowledge. Number one, that's 7a, is knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. What you know empowers you. What you know empowers you. What you know empowers you. Knowledge is power. Seek for knowledge. Brothers and sisters, seek for knowledge. Don't just some people are so myopic in their thinking. You want to set up a business? You've not studied one book about that business. You're bound to fail. If not consult with people that know the business, you will lack the power and the capacity to grow and develop that business. And that will take you from the place of prosperity to the place of famine, because your investment will go down the drain. Praise the Lord. You must invest in knowledge. Don't say, I'm a tailor. Be the tailor. Me baba, be the baba. It's not only being doctor, lawyers, no. Whatsoever you have, be that thing. That people become a master in it. Is the Lord. Once walk with an elderly Indian man, expatriate, elderly, and wanted to quit the job that I was doing that time. I remember my pastor then, I talked about the man like 6 months earlier. Then after 6 months, because of the wahala of the man so much, I said, I'm quitting. I can't cope with this man. His trouble is too much. So I went to my pastor. I said, sir, I want to leave this work. In fact, I already have offer. It's not that I'm even looking for offer. And the man looked at me. I said, but you told me that this man is very knowledgeable in this area. And you say you want to build your career in this area. I said, yes. I said, stay. Stay under him. Learn. Said, determine that within the next 1 year, you want to learn what the man, as at that time, the man has about 30-something years experience. Said, stay under him and determine within 1 to 2 years that you want to acquire the knowledge that took him 30-something years to build. And I made up my mind, and look, I'm going to. And sincerely, it wasn't easy. The man used me very well. Very, very well. I tell you, I learned a lot. This is a man that when you are doing an analysis, before you finish, he will tell you your result. As you are doing the thing, he's just looking. He will tell you, stop, the thing is not going to pass. It won't pass. If you continue, it will not pass. When you go to ask him, he will tell you the reason. He will tell you where you have made mistake. He will tell you, based on this and this and this, this thing cannot work. Got notebooks. Plenty. I'll go Monday to Saturday, sometimes Sunday after service. I'll go to him. Sir, This we've not done. We say, okay, come. He will teach me. He got to a point, he stopped teaching me when others were there. He will teach me late into the night. I get back home, I will plead with my wife, please. The next morning, I'm there again, teaching Saturday, early in the morning, 6 a.m. on Saturday. Because the factory will open by 8, I will be there 6, he will come 6:15. We will do some things before others come. And I tell you today, those things are valuable to me. See, if you don't seek, knowledge will give you power. You must seek for it. The problem with many is getting that power will mean that you pay sacrifice. Many don't want to pay that sacrifice. Number B is knowledge but relevance. You become relevant if you are knowledgeable. become relevant. Become relevant. People that are knowledgeable, that has knowledge, are relevant people in the society. Are relevant people. But eight is maintain a lifestyle of excitement. But eight, maintain a lifestyle of excitement. If you want God to send you provision, you have to supply the excitement. Hello? If you want God to supply you provisions, you have to do what? You have to supply the excitement. But God feeds on our excitement. He feeds on our excitement. He feeds. You know, when you are praising God, you are excited. That is the food of God. So if you want provision from God, you have to give God excitement. That's one thing that we love doing in this church. A member of Impact House, you are wearing a long, sorrowful face. You don't belong here. That's the truth. Because here, we are excited people. Can somebody shout hallelujah? See, the man who knows how to give thanks to God cannot work in lack. And this is very valid. God praiser have blessed people. I tell you, it's very valid. See, joy brings you into harvest quickly. And there are many who knows how to sow, but they don't know how to reap. I'm going to talk about this. A lot of people that know how to sow, but they don't know how to reap. One of the key to reaping after sowing is joy. To reap what you have sown, you must have joy. You must have joy. You must have joy. You see, you have sown, you have invested in the business. You are still investing. And it seems as if the thing is not working. And you say, thing self, I don't understand. This and that. You will not reap. Hello? Or you are investing. As you are investing, as you are sowing, it is painful. Because it is painful, you now wear a long face. You are not grumbling and complaining, not smiling. You won't get it. You won't have harvest. Maybe you are not getting it. Let me paint this scenario. Into business, I've gone to buy X, Y, Z. I want to sell it to this my brother here. And in the process of taking the goods to him, this one part of it got broken. This will not break in Jesus' name. And because part of it got broken, become sad. Because you are sad, by the time you take it to this man, he couldn't see any excitement in you. He feels you are selling an inferior product because there's no excitement. You are not even excited about what you are presenting. He said, I'm changing my mind, I'm not buying again. It's a scenario. See, when we sowed, you must reap with joy. You can only harvest with joy. Turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17. I read, although the fig tree shall not blossom, and neither shall there be fruit in the vine, the labor of the whole leaf shall fall, and the flock shall yield no meat, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. You know why? Because if you don't rejoice in the Lord, you cannot access strength. Verse 18, the Lord is my strength, and it will make my feet like the eagle's feet. He's the one that will not catapult you and will make you to walk upon your high places. So if you lack joy, you cannot access prosperity. Joy comes in the place of praising God. You have to be excited. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You must be full of excitement all the days of your life if you want to enjoy surplus. Have you not noticed that nobody blesses people that are frowning faces? No notice. If Papa wants to share something now and he's sharing, and everybody's laughing, hey, and somebody's. When he gets to him, rather than give the person, oh, Kilo Shia, what is wrong with you? That's the first question we ask. And all the other, he has not been asking them. So when he gets to that place, he asks, and the man gives another, and says, okay, what you need is not this, you will get what you need. Maybe what that person needs is what he's sharing. But because of the long face, he will not give. He rather asks, what is wrong with you? That's why being sorrowful and being depressed pushes away blessings. Don't allow the condition that you are in now to depress you to the point that you forget about praising God. All you are saying is, what has God done for me and what has God not done for me? Praise the Lord. Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in what? Shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with what? With rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It is rejoicing and excitement that brings the sheaves. Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, rather, gave thanks. He could have been wailing and crying, oh, but Lazarus, oh, I'm crying there. Lazarus will not jump out with all the crying. Gather everybody in Judea and let them cry. Nothing will happen. Lazarus will still be Lazarus inside there. But he got there. He said, Father, I thank you. With excitement, Lazarus, come forth. He did not say it with a demoralized voice. Lazarus, if you like, please come out. Lazarus will not answer. You know why? Because Lazarus is already in heaven. He will not want to come back. He won't want to. The guy will say, Jesus, I beg. I don't want. It was with excitement. Lazarus, come forth. It was a command. It wasn't a wish. Excitement. And Lazarus came out. You see, when you are asking for blessing and you are sorrowful, you cannot be blessed. Blessing does not dwell in the house of sorrow. Oh, there must be excitement. Have you not noticed if a woman wants something from the husband, if she's doing bong bong bong, she won't get the thing. She won't get it. I don't know the English for bong bong bong. She won't get it. She's doing dry face, boning up and down. The husband says, honey, how are you? The husband says, what is happening? Fine. Nothing will comfort. And the husband says, honey, how are you? I'm doing great. How are you? And she's smiling all over. I tell you, the man we do. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing with God. When you are asking God for blessing and you are boning and crying, and God does not answer my prayer. God don't answer sorrow heart. He went, Anna has been going to Shiloh several years. Sorrowful. Sorrow. She didn't get Samuel. But when she went that year, she was still sorrowful initially. And when she encountered the servant of God, and the servant of God gave her a word, like you are receiving the word tonight, the Bible says she wiped her tears, removed the old thing, touched herself up, prepared herself, excitedly ran home with her husband, and they did the thing, and Samuel came forth. If she was still sorrowful, by the time she got home with the sorrow face, the husband would not look her face. The prophecy will not come. God will deliver you in Jesus' name. Brethren, I tell you, excitement. I love the way we are excited tonight. May your joy continually flow in the name of Jesus. I'll round up with Psalm 67, verse 3 to 6. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Verse 6, then shall the head yield our increase, and God, even our own God, shall...
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.